It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrich. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a new study finds that the area suitable for coffee growing in Latin America could shrink a lot in the next 30 years. We'll talk to a scientist about those findings and why bees could help offset some of the changes.
First, one of the deadliest shootings in modern U.S. history happened outside the Mandalay Bay Resort in Las Vegas last night. A gunman on a high floor of the resort opened fire on an outdoor country music festival, killing at least 58 and injuring over 500 people, according to police.
Here's Ruben Kiwin, Democratic representative for Nevada's 4th Congressional District, which includes Ely and North Las Vegas.
Today is a very sad day for Nevada. It's a very sad day for Las Vegas. But if anything good came out of this, is that I saw humanity. I saw our community come together. I saw strangers helping strangers and saving lives.
Adam Winkler is a professor of law at the UCLA School of Law. He's the author of Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. Adam, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with a listen to a reaction from President Trump. Here it is.
Our unity cannot be shattered by evil. Our bonds cannot be broken by violence. And though we feel such great anger at the senseless murder of our fellow citizens, it is our love that defines us today.
Adam, what do you make of the president's response to this shooting?
Well, I think for many people, the president's response will be disappointing because they want to see our elected officials do more than provide nice comments and consoling words and want to see some kind of action to help prevent these kinds of things from happening again.
We've had this conversation, I think, with you before, Adam, in the aftermath of a mass shooting. There are calls the day of the shooting from some for gun control, for changes in gun laws, closing loopholes, and there are responses saying, not now, now's not the time to talk about gun control. We've been through this argument a lot of times before.
And I think we'll be through it many times again. Look, we have 320 million guns in America, and what that means is that if you're really determined to cause a lot of havoc with firearms, you can do so, no matter what laws exist and are in place. What we need to do is think about what laws we can adopt to bring down the daily death toll from guns, and not to get too focused on the latest mass shooting. As horrific as it is, mass shootings are incredibly difficult to stop. But we can probably make more headway in reducing the daily death toll from guns.
How can we do that?
Well, one of the best things we can do is universal background checks. There's no reason why anyone should be able to purchase a gun without going through a background check. We also need to take the NRA up on its offer to do more to enforce the gun laws that we have. The NRA says they want better enforcement of our gun laws, but the NRA has worked very hard over the last 20 years to defang, if you will, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the main federal government agency responsible for enforcing our gun laws. We need to really empower the ATF, go after trafficking of guns and rogue gun dealers without the kinds of handcuffs that the NRA and its allies in Congress have insisted upon for years.
There's been reporting lately on the ATF and their computer databases, the technology that they have to track gun purchases, things like that, being pathetically out of date. Is that right?
Well, that's right. The NRA has insisted that the ATF use technology from the 1960s and 70s rather than today's current technology. And in fact, these kinds of gun records are not compiled in any kind of computer database. And it's very, very difficult and time-consuming for members of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to even trace a single gun, much less the huge number of guns that are found on crime scenes every day.
Talking to Adam Winkler, author of the book Gunfight, looking at guns, gun regulation, and the politics related to them after last night's mass shooting in Las Vegas. Turning back to that incident, police had reported that there were at least 10 rifles in the gunman's hotel room. And reports, audio reports suggest that one of the weapons sounded, this is unconfirmed, I think, still at this point, sounded like a fully automatic weapon, meaning you hold down the trigger and rounds keep coming out, as opposed to having to pull the trigger repeatedly for a semi-automatic weapon. What kind of regulation is there in place right now for fully automatic weapons?
So fully automatic weapons are among the most highly regulated weapons in America. And in fact, it's illegal under federal law to sell a new machine gun manufactured after 1986. So there are still some grandfathered-in machine guns that are lawful, ones that were registered and owned before 1986. But if you want to own one, they're very, very expensive, cost thousands and thousands of dollars, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars, and you have to get a special federal license and background check in order to possess one.
That said, I understand there are ways to modify semi-automatic firearms, certain makes of them anyway, to make them either fully automatic or to fire at a rate, a burst similarly to a fully automatic weapon. Is that right?
There are some kits out there, but these kits are very, very difficult and require quite a bit of expertise to be able to use and use properly. They require some fancy equipment and aren't as simple as what it sounds like when you say a kit. Mm-hmm. It almost sounds like a little something you put on your model train to make it look a little bit different, when in fact this is actually quite a complicated process, and the resulting firearm, if it's automatic, is illegal if it's not registered with the federal government.
Are fully automatic firearms used in crimes at all often in the United States, given how hard it is to get a hold of them?
Well, today, no. And really, it's part of that is really a story of the success of gun control. While the NRA says that gun control laws never work, in fact, machine guns were often used in crime in the 1920s during the Prohibition era, with mobsters like Al Capone and Bonnie and Clyde, desperados out there using the Tommy gun, newly invented in the 1920s. And we had laws passed in 1934 and subsequent laws making it ever harder to get your hands on a machine gun. And as a result, these guns are almost never used in criminal activity.
One story that people point to in a lot of mass shootings is large ammunition capacity in firearms, allowing people to get off a lot of rounds without stopping to reload. Is there any talk of regulation on ammunition capacity?
Well, we've had discussions about reforming ammunition capacity for many years. And in fact, one of the proposals that was put forward after the Newtown shooting in December of 2012 was to ban high-capacity magazines, magazines capable of holding more than 10 rounds of ammunition. And indeed, we've seen such laws passed in several states, but we have not seen such a thing at the federal level. And that is the kind of aspect of a firearm that is associated with lethality, in the sense that it does control the number of rounds that you can easily shoot without reloading.
Just want to update it. The New York Times is reporting that more than 19 rifles were found in the hotel room, along with hundreds of rounds of ammunition. Of course, with a story like this, information comes in through the day. Sometimes it turns out not to be accurate. But Adam, turning a bit away from the mass shootings again, you said we have this daily toll of gun-related deaths. And I was about to say homicides, and I don't want to leave it there. Talk about homicides and suicides. What's the story we're seeing from day to day in the United States?
Well, we know that there's about 30,000 people who die every year from gunshot wounds, and that includes about 60% or 65% of those are suicides, people who are self-inflicted wounds, and about 35 to 40% of those are homicides. But even those numbers are deceiving in some ways, because while we focus on fatalities, think about this shooting in Las Vegas last night. There are 58 fatalities, but another 500 or more people who've been shot and injured. And each one of those people will face maybe a lifetime of hardship because of their gunshot wound, not to mention the impact on their families, their jobs, their communities. Gun violence really is much greater than the 30,000 people who die every year from gunshot wounds.
Looking at a mass shooting like this, even though most people who will be shot, fatally or otherwise, will not be shot in a mass shooting, this is something that affects people even who weren't injured. This has an effect on our willingness to participate in the public sphere. What do you make of our reaction after something like this as far as being terrorized by an attack like this?
Well, that is sort of the effect of these kinds of incidents. A terrorist act is designed not just to kill the people who are targeted by the gun, but also to terrorize, to create an emotional or mental harm to people who survive. And we do see this kind of thing affecting us. Increasingly, we're finding that when we go to places where the public gathers, we have to go through security. We have to go through a metal detector or have our bags searched. This is a response to the fact that there are so many guns. It may be that next time you go to Las Vegas, you'll have to go through a metal detector even to go into a casino, which would be a real change in how the public is welcomed into public spots like casinos.
Looking around at responses as they roll into this, people point toward Australia, a mass shooting there resulting in a big change in laws, gun confiscations, and no similar mass shootings since. Is that a viable analogy with the United States?
I think it's not, for two reasons. Number one, we're not about to have gun confiscation in America right now. We can't even get universal background checks passed through Congress. The idea of actually confiscating guns is incredibly far-fetched. But number two, and perhaps even more important, I think the Australian story is misunderstood. We haven't had any mass shootings in Australia, and that seems like it's a success story for the law. But the truth is gun ownership in Australia is now back up at the levels it was prior to the incident, prior to the new gun control laws. Handguns are still easy to purchase and own in Australia. And indeed, handguns are the most common weapon used in mass shootings, even in the United States. So it's not clear that if Australians wanted to engage in a mass shooting, they wouldn't have ample means to do so.
We'll leave it there for now. Adam, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Adam Winkler from the UCLA School of Law, author of the book Gunfight, looking at yesterday's mass shooting in Las Vegas. We'll get more updates from NPR News throughout the afternoon.